The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. Welcome into First Take. Did you remember how to get here?
Barely. Yeah. But I'm
in
the house.
Do you still have an office?
I'm in the house. I don't know, Molly. I think somebody was in there.
Really?
Reclined, looking at my TVs and all of that other stuff.
Interesting.
I suspect it was you.
It wasn't
me.
I suspect it was you.
No, I have my own. Mine's very organized and neat and all set up.
Your office is your dressing room, but where you go to relax is my office where she sits there and takes over Orlovsky. That's
high
what she does.
That's high maintenance.
Dan, it's
can
all
I get
lie.
A Miles,
hey,
can I get a up close on the suit? Stephen A. just said you're wearing a suit.
It's my suit. That's right. She's rocking my suit.
You know, looks,
she was teasing
great,
me
Miles.
About it last week. Now she's rocking the suit. It is kind of fly, but it would look even better if you rock some suspenders. You should try that look one day with the suspenders. That'll look really fly.
There's a weird strand
of
hair.
It's just suspenders. It's just a suggestion.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I kind of know things about this
I'll marinate on that.
I kind of know stuff about this kind of stuff to Orlovsky.
Your suit looks very boring.
Really?
Hey, Dan.
Yeah,
real
what's
quick.
Up, Miles?
You feel good about UConn seeding in the tournament? How do you feel about this?
Listen,
Iona, the first round, Rick Pitino. I'm a little nervous about that.
I'm not tripping
you
over Rick Pitino. I texted Danny the other night. They're playing hard. All they need is Hawkins to just show up, Miles. Like,
no,
if
to
he
take
shows,
over.
Just show, but show up. If he shows up, they're a Final Four team. If he goes away,
wow.
They got to struggle.
So you're going to sit up on national TV and call a brother out before the NCAA tournament begins.
Him out.
Talk about he just needs to show up. Really?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing? This is college. The kids. The kids.
Oh,
I thought you loved the kids.
By the way, the NCAA tournament. Last thing, and then I'm going to get to football. Billis has him winning it all. Just leave it with that. I mean, he does know a thing.
He does?
He's winning them all.
Jay Billis is brilliant. That's my brother. He's brilliant. But not flawless.
Okay, Reese, LaFonso, Seth Greenberg all have them in the Final Four. And obviously, I
brilliant minds, but not flawless.
My kids all took.
Remember, I said that.
The kids all took UConn.
Oh, breaking news into First Take this morning. Adam Schefter. The Jets are actively working to reach an agreement with Packers free agent wide receiver Alan Lazard for league sources. There's another team involved, and no final decision has been made, but the Jets are trying to reunite Lazard and offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. As for the latest on Aaron Rodgers, here's Adam Schefter.
I think first and foremost, you have to know that Aaron Rodgers is committed to the New York Jets. That's the first thing that has to happen. There are a whole host of issues for everyone to sort through, and it starts with the man himself deciding that he's committed to your New York Jets going forward. And I think it is tracking the right way. It sounds like everybody in New York and Green Bay is cautiously optimistic that something can and will get done.
Guess what, y'all? The New York Post is on Rodgers' watch, too. We're waiting. Here's the deal, Dan. With Rodgers and Lamar Jackson as the two best quarterbacks presumably available, which one do you think the Jets would be better off with?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. You know, before I get into the reasoning of why, Miles, I think the Alan Lazard part of this is all like a small piece of the puzzle. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but this is my conspiracy theory when it comes to this whole situation, because we all want the answer like right now. Everyone's what is waiting? Why are we waiting? What is he waiting for? This is not reporting. This is not any information that I have. This is a total assumption on my end. I'll probably get text messages about this. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to the Jets. I think the Jets know that Aaron Rodgers is coming to the Jets. I think the Packers know that Aaron Rodgers is going to the Jets. What I assume is that Aaron Rodgers told the Jets, I'm coming. I want these things to happen. If they do not happen, or news breaks that I'm going to the Jets, I'm not coming. He wants control of every aspect of this situation. So I think the Alan Lazard part of this equation is just one small step to get to the end result. Again, total conspiracy theory by me, but I think the Jets know. I just think the Jets are unable to tell or unable to tell anything to anyone. Now, I think the Jets are better with Aaron Rodgers. part of this is, like, we have to remove, like, the emotional frustration all of us have in regards to this situation with Rodgers. Whether you like him as a person or not, whether you think he's weird or not, whether you're frustrated, emotional, whatever about him, look at the player. He's 13 months removed from winning back-to-back MVPs. 13 months. Even in a down year last year, Aaron Rodgers, to his statistics or to his performance, had a down year last year. 26 touchdowns, 3,600 yards. Now, part of my job, Stephen A. Molly, is to find out why the down year. All right, was it Aaron can't play anymore, or the reasons why? One, through double-digit interceptions for the first time in 13 years. 13 years. So do we think that Aaron Rodgers all of a sudden became really bad at football? Or was this an anomaly because of some other variables? Number two, the offensive line. 11 different starting units for Green Bay. 11. A lot of quarterbacks are going to underperform in that situation. Christian Watson, the rookie, missed 4 games. Romeo Dobbs, the rookie, missed 4 games. Randall Cobb, his boy, missed 4 games. That all plays into the situation. And then the thumb injury. Because everyone has talked, or not everyone, but a lot of people have talked about Aaron Rodgers this year and not mentioned the thumb. Okay, the thumb got hurt against the Giants. Before the Giants game, when he injured his thumb, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 67% completion percentage, averaging like 250 yards a game. That's all part of this equation. I think a healthy Aaron Rodgers is a very, very good player still. And given what the Jets have on the perimeter skill-wise, and if their offensive line is healthy, as much as I love Lamar, I think they're better off with Aaron.
First of all, you on the verge of really, really ticking me off. It's the show comes on at 10 o'clock. You usually wait about until 10:20, 10:30 to tick me off. You ticked me off in the first couple of minutes. Don't fall into that BS trap that Aaron Rodgers threw out there about people questioning his skills, where you got to throw out all the superlatives. We all know Aaron Rodgers is great. Tell me one person that said he wasn't great. No one has said that he's not great.
I was on set with you last year when you said he's no longer that bad man.
Excuse me. I said it after he lost a game he wasn't supposed to lose. In other words, you lost to Jimmy Garoppolo. You lost and didn't make the playoffs against Detroit. Yeah. And I said for that moment, I said, I know how great. Listen, Amali's a witness. There's nobody that believes in Aaron Rodgers more than me. That is just a lie. All right. It took Patrick Mahomes winning another Super Bowl for me to say that there was somebody else greater as a talent at the quarterback position in the history of the game than Aaron Rodgers.
Did you say last year he's no longer that bad man? Did you say that?
I'm not saying I didn't say that. I said that I had a moment and it was the running joke. It was the running joke because it's something that I never said before or after. It ticked me off that he lost that particular week. That's all I said, okay? And we all knew I was joking about that. But when it comes to the greatness of Aaron Rodgers, there is no one, not even Pat McAfee, there is no one that raves about the greatness of this man at the quarterback position more than me. It is a lie when people sit up there and say, oh, there's diminished skills.
But it's been said.
Maybe not by you, but it's been said. Listen. What we said was he was once considered the greatest as a talent. Patrick Mahomes has come along. He's elevated above Aaron Rodgers. We look at Aaron Rodgers and we say, what's all of this drama going on? That's where my disgust for Aaron Rodgers has kicked in. It's like, wait a minute, my brother, you have any idea how great you are? We know how great you are. Why are you going through these Bush League tactics to draw attention to you? Oh, I have to wait to make a decision. Oh, I've got to go get my cleanse. Oh, I've got to go in the cave. Oh, this, oh, that. I make a decision eventually. It'll happen. And then you come on national television and you tell the world he's going to be a Jet. This is what, not reporting you, this is what you believe. He's going to be a Jet. But if it's leaked at all, then guess what? I'm not going to come. Oh, so if they know that you're coming to New York, I mean, my Lord, it takes the headlines away from you and suddenly that's something you care about. Care more about a damn Super Bowl that you haven't even been to in 13 years. That's my issue with Aaron Rodgers. Enough of this. You're too great. You're too great for these kind of storylines to be out about you. It's about winning, and he's not doing it. That's number one. Number two. Let me tell you to answer the question directly, why I would say Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is at least 12 years younger than him. Lamar Jackson has an incredible upside, okay? Not only that, if the Jets acquire him, you're talking about a guy that could be your franchise quarterback for at least the next half decade, if not longer. I'm not going to say a full decade because I don't think he's going to be able to run like this in 12 years. But the fact of the matter is we look at Lamar Jackson and his mercurial skills and we say to ourselves, okay, we've seen him throw the ball in the pocket. We've seen him improve as a passer. We know how electrifying he could be running out of the backfield as a quarterback, running from behind center as a quarterback. We know you'd have Breece Hall there, at least for the foreseeable future. Garrett Wilson, at least for the foreseeable future. An elite defense, at least for the foreseeable future. And you put all of those things together and you're playing the long game, that is the reason. I wouldn't pick Lamar Jackson because I think he's better than Aaron Rodgers at this point, because I don't. What I would pick Lamar Jackson for is that I'm playing a long game and I'm not thinking about just next season. I'm thinking about the next 4 to 5 to 6 years. And based off of that, Aaron Rodgers will likely be gone. Lamar Jackson will likely still be around. That is why I would go with Lamar Jackson.
I don't think anyone's going to sit here and argue like Lamar would not be a tremendous player for them. I think like if my conspiracy theory is wrong and Aaron Rodgers somehow isn't a Jet, they should immediately pivot to trying to go get Lamar Jackson from Baltimore with some picks and money. The challenge for that is this, Stephen A. Can they afford the fully guaranteed contract that Lamar wants and also paying Quinn and Williams? We've seen some of these defensive tackle contracts. That would be a big challenge. The best thing that happened to the Jets was Mark Murphy, I believe president of the Jets coming or Packers coming out this past weekend and saying, hey, Aaron had a great career here. Because if we know anything about Aaron, and we don't know much about him, is that stuff ticks him off. And maybe that was the final kind of turn to sit there and go, all right, you're doubting me again. You're talking about this way, about me again this way. I'm going to go to the Jets. I'm going to bring some of the guys from Green Bay, and we're going to go on a tear. That's, again, something that I think plays in the Jets' favor, because I think the Jets can pull off getting Aaron and keep that first-round pick. And that's enormous.
I get you, and I understand that. All I'm trying to say to you is this, though. When you look at Aaron Rodgers waffling back and forth about whether he's going to retire, whether he's going to play, where does he want to be, et cetera, et cetera. When you're the New York Jets, it's not just that you're potentially great. Mm-hmm. You're potentially young and great.
That's fair.
And the fact that you are young, I want somebody that I know is going to be there longer.
That's
just me. And by the way, since he was non-exclusive with the non-exclusive tag, if you lost him, you'd have to surrender a couple of picks if they let him get away. If I'm the New York Jets, I'd give up 3 first-round picks for Lamar Jackson. I'd give up 3 first-round picks for Lamar Jackson.
I don't disagree with that, yeah.
I'd give up 3 first-round picks for Lamar Jackson.
I want to get to another one of your favorite quarterbacks, but I got to take a moment real quick.
Sure.
The Navy on Navy looks great, Dan.
Thanks, Moss.
Did Tiffany dress you, or you pick that out?
No, Tiffany picks out my clothes. Tiffany turns 40 on Thursday as well, Moss.
Wow, she does not look 40.
It is a good look, a very significant upgrade, which speaks to how you normally dress. Okay. But that's a subject for another day.
Stephen, you're the third best dressed on the show today. Third best. Molly, me, you.
You are.
Please.
Yeah.
So sad with all your money.
Hey, you're a 3 seed.
Hey, look at me.
Y'all have any idea how good I look?
Just come back stronger tomorrow. Hopefully this motivates you.
Well, listen, you can talk when you get your own suit instead of wearing mine. Let's move on.
Okay. Don't sleep on Jimmy G, Stephen A. He's set to reunite with his offensive coordinator back in New England, Josh McDaniels, who, of course, is now the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders fill their quarterback need with Garoppolo, according to Diana Rossini and Adam Schefter. Now, Jimmy G agreed to a 3-year, 67.5 million deal, including $34 million guaranteed. The 31-year-old spent the past 5+ seasons with the Niners. The last season, Garoppolo ranked 27th in average depth of target while getting the ball out at the 7th fastest rate. Excuse me. Carr, on the other hand, averaged the 4th most air yards per attempt while ranking 26th in average time to throw. Dan, talk to me. What are fair expectations for Jimmy G and this Raiders team?
No, not right now. Playoffs? Is that what you said, Balls?
No, I said, what are just fair expectations? What would you say?
They'll be playing, contending football games in December. Here's where the Raiders are. All they did was really swap out one person. Now, there's reports that they just signed Jacoby Myers from the New England Patriots. I'd like that. My question would then pivot
to
Hunter Renfrow.
Not Jacoby and Myers, the law firm. Jacoby Myers, the player, right?
Thanks
Jacoby
for clearing
and
that
Myers.
Up, Stephen.
I look at this situation like this, Molly. You kind of laterally swap out quarterbacks. Are they in a better place because they didn't want Derek Carr and did want Jimmy Garoppolo? Sure. The Raiders were the 26th ranked defense in football last year. They lost 9 one-possession games. So until they address some of the issues of their defense, this is kind of a team that I look laterally. I have 2 questions about Jimmy Garoppolo. One, your health. That's always going to be a conversation.
Always.
He's missed 17 games in 3 years. So is he going to stay healthy for the majority of this season? Number two, what are you outside of Kyle Shanahan? I grew up in the offense with Kyle Shanahan and Gary Kubiak. I've watched it take quarterbacks, and this offense, scheme-wise, elevates quarterbacks. It gets them to play a little bit better than they are talent-wise. We don't really know. He's been there for 6 years. Exactly what Jimmy Garoppolo is outside of, and Marcus Spears calls it the insulation, the cocoon of what San Francisco had under Kyle Shanahan and those people. So Jimmy's a good player, but this still is a defense that is very much so deprived of talent. I think the Broncos are going to be a much better football team this year. The Chargers are going to be really good. We know what the Chiefs are. You have to deal with the Miami Dolphins and their addition. The Jacksonville Jaguars, I think, are AFC title contenders. We haven't talked about Baltimore or Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. So, there's still a bunch of good teams that I sit there and say, the Raiders' deficiency, we got to see till after the draft exactly what the roster looks like.
I think you're being here's the tricky part. You're not wrong, but I think you're being ultra critical, dare I say, about Jimmy G. Porn star Jimmy, that's what we call him on the show, by the way.
I literally told Marcus, you're going to mention it the first 10 seconds you talk about it.
No question about it.
No, this one time, though, we're going to be adults today.
We are adults. Porn star Jimmy. That's
in
very
Vegas.
Adult. The fact that the man in Vegas. Okay. In Vegas.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Ain't
Melrose, it's Vegas. But that's different subject for another day. Here's my point, Dan Orlovsky. This is why I think you're being ultra critical. He was in New England for the first 3 years of his career. His offensive coordinator was who?
Josh.
It was Josh McDaniel, who happens to be the head coach for the Raiders. That has something to do with why Jimmy G has landed in Vegas.
Totally.
Because there is a familiarity there. I don't think that Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, is a downgrade from Derek Carr. I think it's an upgrade only because I'm not talking about their talent per se. I'm talking about what Jimmy G and his relationship with Josh McDaniel evidently is. Remember, Bill Belichick wanted to hand the reins to Jimmy Garoppolo. Mr. Kraft had to step in and stop that. Josh McDaniel was there when Bill Belichick wanted to make that move. You and I both know Bill Belichick doesn't want to make that move without at least consulting with Josh McDaniel. So no matter how close Josh McDaniel was to Tom Brady, no matter how much he believed in him, no matter how much he loves and appreciates Tom Brady, and I'm not saying anything as if I'm reporting on it, I don't know. I'm just surmising. You can connect the dots. The reality is that one would argue Bill Belichick made that decision after talking with his offensive coordinator and coming to that conclusion. And so you've got to believe that Josh McDaniel has some faith in Jimmy G. Let's also go to Jimmy G himself. The man has been to a Super Bowl. He's been to a couple of NFC Championship games. He's 40-17 as a starter. 40-17. He was 2-0 with New England. That don't count. I get all of that. 63-94 passes, complete about 67% of his passes. We get all of that. But I'm saying then we get to the AFC. First of all, let's stay with the AFC West. The reigning defending Super Bowl champions, that's a given. I can't just put the Chargers in that second place spot, not with Brandon Staley as their coach. We've seen too many things happen. Listen, a couple of years ago, we saw a number of mistakes that cost them coaching errors. Okay, going for it on fourth down for too many damn times and stuff like that. Cost them a couple of games and ultimately a playoff spot. Just this past year, they're up 27-0. 27-0. Man, that brother, he he would have had a commercial flight back home. He had to wait in line.
But Kellen Moore there, he would have been Kellen on Moore flight added home to with, that but, offense as the offensive coordinator should be an upgrade, should be a good piece for them.
I got you, but what I'm saying is this is what happened with Brandon Staley as the head coach. So what I'm trying to say is that it is not a foregone conclusion that the Chargers could end up folding, and as much as I love Justin Herbert, because I'm not sold on Brandon Staley as of yet. The other teams that you bring up, okay, you got Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Baltimore. They're going to beat up on each other in the North. You got Buffalo, presumably the Jets with Aaron Rodgers, Miami. They'll probably beat up on one another in the East. I mean, I'm just saying, it's not a foregone conclusion that Jimmy Garoppolo could end up being an asset to the Las Vegas Raiders. That's significantly upgraded from what Derek Carr gave you.
I don't think it's out of the conversation that and I don't think this is likely, but if one of these quarterbacks falls to seven, that they draft one of these rookie quarterbacks. They tried to get up to one. We know that.
Who, the Raiders?
Yeah.
So right. That don't mean he getting the job of his rookie year.
Stephen
A. That don't mean he coming in and starting.
I'm telling you right now, if some of these quarterbacks fall, again, I don't think it's likely, but if a talent like an Anthony Richardson falls and Jimmy Garoppolo comes off the gate slow, he going to play.
All right.
They got to win.
All right. You talk about Anthony Richardson. I mean, listen, I think
are you placing the Raiders above the Broncos?
He obviously got – excuse me?
Raiders above the Broncos?
Hell yeah. Until further notice, I know Sean Payton's there, but there's nothing else. Listen, Sean Payton and Denver's defense, I believe in. Russell Wilson is dipped,
bro. Did you see what they did in free agency?
Russell Wilson is dipped. I got to see more from Russell Wilson. I got to see a resurrection from him. You don't? You don't?
I believe to see a resurrection from Russell Wilson? I think with Sean Payton, the two offensive line additions.
Okay, you believe it. All I'm saying is, I ain't say I don't believe it. I said I got to see it. You got to see it too, don't you?
Nah.
What, you miss Cleo now? Don't you got to see it?
My job is to try and predict, to try and forecast.
All right, that's fine.
I don't think you could put the Raiders above the Broncos.
Okay. I'm not saying I would. I'm saying, you know what? I'm not sold on Denver with Russell Wilson. Not the Russell Wilson I've seen. I need to see better.
All right. Well, I don't need to see better from Sierra because I did see her at that Vanity Fair pretty darn good.
He did
all
that right.
Dan, let's talk about your Eagles. Quick takes. Former Eagles defensive tackle Javon Hargrave has reached an agreement on a four-year, $84 million deal with the 49ers, according to Shefty. Dan, is this the most impactful NFL free agent move that you would say was made yesterday?
Yeah, right now, absolutely. Hargrave is a dominant defensive tackle. We're talking, this is a little bit of a reaction by San Francisco to what happened in the NFC title game versus Philadelphia, where they just got absolutely dump trucked by Philly's offensive line. Double team after double team. This is the rich get richer. It was the best defense in football in San Francisco, the best run defense in football. Now it's Bosa on the outside and Armstead on the inside with Hargrave, and then you got Ekuban or Amenahu are both free agents. This is a defensive line that's going to be the best in football. Hargrave is a massive addition.
I'm not denying that. I get all that, but we'll see.
Yeah, luckily that wasn't for you, so we're good.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C.
D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But Monica's here. The Golden State Warriors extend their win streak in the Bay to 8 games after a back-and-forth 112 win over the Phoenix Suns. Guys, let's just get through it. Klay Thompson showdown's already starting, scoring 33 of his 38 points in the first half, while Steph Curry added 23.7 rebounds, 5 assists. The victory slides Golden State into 5th place in the West and pushes its record at the Chase Center to 29-7. Now, here's the deal. So the Warriors have an 8-06 win percentage at home and a 212 win percentage on the road this season. Do you see that discrepancy? That 594 difference in home and road win percentage would be the highest in a season by any team since the Nuggets, and that was back in 88-89. Monica is here.
What the hell is this? First Take or Project Runway?
First of all,
what is going on?
It could be a little bit of both. You know, you got lots of eyeballs on this show, Stephen. They got to come ready. It's cold outside.
First of all, it looks great.
Thank
you,
Molly.
It's supposed to be a snowstorm today, so it's very appropriate, weather appropriate.
Sensory.
She looks adorable.
It's very soft.
Yeah, you look nice.
You do. Can I talk basketball, or we're okay now? Okay, we got that out. You look great, as always. How concerned are you with the difference in how the Warriors play on the road versus at home?
Child, out of 10, 8 out of 10. This is terrible. And I think I understand. And in the sound bites we had last week from Draymond Green, he talked about struggling to wake up for games in March. I get it. You've got professionals. You've got guys that have won multiple championships. But you also have to acknowledge that this is not the team of 4 years ago, right? Like, age matters, mileage matters. Because of these long runs of this Warriors squad, particularly the core we're talking about when we talk about Steph, Klay, and Draymond, because of these long runs that they've been accustomed to, you can't take games for granted. You can't take health for granted. There's so much that they've been through. So your ability to just flip a switch may not be the same as it was in years past. And then when I look at that supporting cast, while you did retain some of those champions from last year's team, there are still some key pieces that are missing. We don't know what's going on with Andrew Wiggins, if he's necessarily going to be back during the regular season or even the postseason for that matter. And so this is very alarming to me. And I think last week, something that Becky Hammond said on our Women's International Day celebration broadcast has really sat in my stomach. And this idea that this now comes down to professionalism to a degree, because defending is a want to, it is a focus, it's just a decision that you make, especially when you have the capability to be so good at the Chase Center. And so this, to me, is very, very alarming, because some of those supporting casts, like, you are likely to get a diving pool in terms of Jordan Poole productivity offensively, just as much as you might show up and get a baby pool, because he kind of swings a little bit. So I don't know about the consistency bothers me in terms of a championship run. This is not something we've ever seen from this squad.
I don't disagree, but before I elaborate on my position, what is that necklace that you wear? What does it say? Does it say grateful?
It says grateful. This morning I was in a bad mood. I had to just put on some gratitude, be reminded.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
You know.
Bad mood?
I didn't know you were capable
of being in a bad
mood. Listen, I was sleeping good. I was sleeping real good.
Don't you always sleep so well when it rains outside?
Ooh. You sleep like a baby. A little bit.
I like that. It's important to be grateful. As soon as you focus on the good things, it helps turn your spirit around.
I'm always grateful myself until I think about how I got to come to work and deal with her. Then I get upset.
You don't even work here. What are you talking about? You moonlight here. Hold up. Don't lie to the people. I thought you work in Vegas.
L.A. Miami.
In Miami.
That was just last week. I had a few speaking engagements.
Yeah, and sometimes you visit New York.
So I had to hit the road, but I'm back. Am I not? Yes, I am. Thank you very, very much. Did you miss me? Anyway, here's the deal.
We did miss you. It's always better when you're here.
Come on. Let's get to your war of yours.
Right.
It is.
I am concerned.
Very.
About the Warriors. I'm not happy with what I'm seeing. When they get on the road, I don't even know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's gotten to the point where I think Joe Lacob should hire a private investigator to figure out what the hell they doing on the nights before games on the road. Because I don't understand why they can't win road games like that. I mean, they're awful. Just awful on the road, okay? Not at home. On the road. When it comes to Steve Kerr, again, he's so great as a coach. He's a four-time champion, 6 finals appearances in 8 years. We know what he brings to the table. The flip side to it is that there does come a point in time where you have to wonder if the voice is being heard to the same degree it once was. And I think with him, that's a legitimate question at this point. But no one more so than Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
And let me get to that point. Props to Draymond Green for acknowledging, manning up from point one, mm-hmm. what he did to Jordan Poole was very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We all know this, okay? He spoke to me about it. He spoke to numerous other people about it. We don't need to revisit that in that regard. But here's where we do need to revisit it. Draymond Green himself would admit it compromised his ability to lead.
Absolutely.
And so the guy that would be in your face and in your ear all year long, mm-hmm. preventing things from getting to this point, wasn't able to be that dude the vast majority of this season. The Warriors can say what they want. They can chirp. They can sing. They can dance. They can talk until the cows come home. It compromised them.
Absolutely.
Because the reality of the situation is, and this is what I got on Dylan Brooks about, it ain't all just about scoring. There are certain people who are gifted in that regard. But there are others. Like Dennis Rodman was a brilliant basketball savant. Talk to anybody who played with him, and they'd rave about his knowledge of the game and what to do, when to do it, how to do it. The man just knew what the hell he was doing on the basketball court. To a lesser degree, that is Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
He is a basketball savant. This man knows what the hell is going on the basketball court. He knows intelligent players. He knows who's intelligent on the opposition and who doesn't have a clue. He knows what mistakes, flaws, and weaknesses they may have, et cetera, et cetera. He knows how to exploit stuff, everything. That Draymond Green would have been able to pick apart so many things, not just about the opposition, but about the Warriors themselves throughout this season, and been able to be vocal about it. But because of what happened with Jordan Poole, it compromised his ability to be vocal. As a result, habits were developed as this season has progressed that has not been alleviated. And because of it, I believe that's why the Warriors are not what they're supposed to be on the road.
I agree with you. I think there's been some compromise. However, I'm going to come to the defense of Draymond on this one a little bit. You are a professional that is paid very well to play at home and on the road. If you have tuned this man out, that has nothing to do necessarily with your commitment to doing what your team needs to do defensively. Yes, had this fracas not occurred, much better position likely for the Warriors. However, come on now.
Yeah, but I don't want you to misinterpret what I'm saying. I'm not blaming him.
I got you.
I'm saying
it's a big
he would have been the cure. Because even though it shouldn't be required,
I got
the level of accountability he customarily would hold folks to.
Okay.
He couldn't.
Okay.
And because of that, this season has slid and regressed.
We got to go.
Okay.
Hey,
okay.
We got a good one Wednesday. Warriors at Clippers. That one's on ESPN. You'll get a set on Countdown. And I have this breaking news in from Clifton. He says, now Stephen A is the fourth best dressed now that the smart, beautiful, and lovely Monica McNutt has showed up. So you're four in the poll.
The first point you made was far more important than that drivel.
Okay.
When is countdown again?
Yeah, Countdown, that show you host.
You don't host it.
Greeny hosts it.
Tomorrow.
That's Wednesday.
That's Wednesday?
And the Warriors are at the Clippers.
So I have a countdown tomorrow?
Yeah, you got a countdown. Yeah.
Busy man.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Okay.
All right.
Good. I'm here for you. Still to come. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Quick dig, don't call Alabama a football school. The Crimson Tide are the number one overall seed in the men's NCAA tournament. Stephen A., how likely is Alabama to win the whole darn thing?
I'm rolling with it. Okay. Listen. Alabama. And usually I'm saying that about Nick Saban. But wouldn't it be beautiful if the basketball program won a national championship? The basketball program won a national championship. Now, they've had some obvious issues this year. One of their players, we understand all of that. He's arrested on capital murder charges and stuff like that. Brandon Miller got himself because supposedly, he provided. This brother can ball. Brandon Miller is special. Mm-hmm. Okay, Sears is not bad. Clowney's not bad, but Brandon Miller is special. I was speaking to Tom Izzo a few weeks ago. He said he might be the best player in the country. And I think when you talk about that Cinderella ride, when you got that kind of stud, okay, that's the kind of dude that can deliver the goods. Now, they did lose to UConn earlier this year. That is true. Yep. They lost to Tennessee
who
as well.
Who did they lose to? Say that one
I said UConn. They lost to UConn this earlier this year. But you know, they beat Memphis. They blew out Kentucky.
Okay.
I'm watching them. I'm rolling with the Tide. Okay. I'm picking Alabama.
I just like everyone to know my brackets are up on ESPN.com because obviously I got it in early on time. Stephen A's will be there probably Thursday.
No, no, no.
And we still have a bet happening. We don't have time to get into the bet.
Why anybody's going to pay attention to your brackets is because they want to see if you're going to beat mine.
I'm absolutely going to beat you.
That's it.
Carry on. Memphis Grizzlies guard.
Did it on purpose.
Okay. I need to transition here to something much more serious.
Okay.
Memphis Grizzlies guard Ja Morant has entered a counseling program in Florida and remains without a timetable on a return to the NBA this season, sources telling ESPN on Monday. Morant has been seeking assistance for what he described in a statement as a need to get help and work on learning better methods of dealing with stress and my overall well-being, which has taken him out of Memphis on a leave from the team. I just want to say, obviously, it's about your opinion, that I applaud Ja Morant for prioritizing his well-being, making this the priority as it should be, and I hope he just comes back better and stronger all around, and wishing him the best. Your reaction to this decision?
I echo that sentiment, Molly. Of course, human nature is to be nosy and want to know details in terms of what he is dealing with exactly, but that's none of our business, and I totally acknowledge that. And so I applaud him as well. Whatever it is, he feels like this is the necessary steps to take. And sometimes that's such a challenging decision to make, right? If he is not suspended by the league, whatever is going to happen with the situation from Denver, he could be back with his team. He could be continuing in the same path that he was in, because quite frankly, outside of us knowing, you know, that he likes to be outside, so to speak, he was able to play basketball and perform at a high level. But taking this deliberate moment, putting aside whether or not this is wasting a season for the Grizzlies and taking care of himself in a real way so that he can be the best version of himself moving forward, I 100% applaud him. I hope that it is effective and that he's able to come back better and stronger than he was before.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of things. Before I get into first order of business is to make sure we all say we're wishing him nothing but the best.
Absolutely.
We're certainly not rooting against him. As human beings, we wish him the best. As God-fearing individuals, we wish him the best. As basketball lovers everywhere, we wish him the best because he is a spectacular talent that we should all want to see continue to flourish in his career. I would challenge you, however, Monica, on this not being anybody's business. I don't want to know. You may not want to know. But the reality of the situation, it is people's business because you're missing games. See, if this is in the offseason,
okay,
and you're just living your life, and trying to better yourself, that's different. But when fans in Memphis and NBA fans everywhere are traveling to arenas clamoring to see you play and you can't be there, they may feel they want to know why. And that's where it does become people's business. And I'm not saying, again, as a guy that's been a reporter for three decades, again, I don't care to know. Of course, I've heard everything, but I don't care to know. That's his business, and I'm not going to say anything about it. What I would tell you is this notion, particularly in the year 2023, that stuff ain't people's business when the expectation is for you to show up to work and you cannot show up. They do have a right to know why. And so that's all I'm saying. So understand, people are not going to say it's none of their business. They're not going to have that attitude. You and I will.
I got you.
But they're not going to do that.
I feel like we do know why, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
he's going on the wrong path and needs to deal with his,
I'm not speculating about anything. I'm just simply addressing the point of that it's none of anybody's business.
Okay.
I'm saying that when you're missing games, people don't want to know why. So that's all I'm saying.
But you know the media thing that came to mind?
What?
Do we know the details on Andrew Wiggins? Is it not the same?
No. Because
I'm genuinely asking.
It was supposed to be an injury.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
It is.
So it's supposed to be an injury.
Okay.
As far as we know.
Okay.
Now, if it was something else, then everybody would be like, well, what the hell is going on? With anybody.
Okay.
With
Fair.
Anybody.
Fair.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay.
And the reason why I bring that up is because it's important that Ja Morant hears that message. You see, this all hit the fan when you were seen on video. Now, obviously, waving the gun and all of this other stuff, and I brought this up on my podcast, No Mercy, the other day. If David Stern, because Adam Silver is far, and that's not to throw any shade on late, great Commissioner David Stern, God rest his soul, but Adam Silver is more of a processor. He's more of a due process kind of guy, and he's player-friendly to a significant degree compared to David Stern. As somebody who covered David Stern for the first 20 years of my career, let me assure you that had that video come out, if David Stern was the commissioner, it would have been an automatic 10-15 game suspension.
Okay.
Before. And you know what? Remember, the malice at the palace.
Yes.
Commissioner David Stern threw out all those suspensions, and he was asked, was it put to a vote? He said, yes, it was unanimous, 1-0. Those were his exact words. I was at the press conference, okay? This man ruled with an iron fist. And he was like, yo, the effect on the league, Carmelo Anthony, I brought up his, you know, appearance on social media a couple of years ago when he was being interviewed and he talked about how David Stern had him. We know everything. We know your boys. We know who you hang out with. We know where you go. We know what your proclivities are. We know everything. I'm saying this so Ja Morant and every other player will reach the conclusion that most of us already know. They know everything.
Yeah.
They know everything.
Can I say one thing, though? Yes. Whether you're forced to go or whether it's on your own volition, it takes a lot of courage to deal with your demons and deal with yourself. And I don't want to speak for men, but from what I've been told, for men, that can be even more challenging.
Oh, I can definitely tell you,
you
that.
You know, and to do that. So
It is.
Again, whether he's forced to do or he's doing it on his own, I just want to applaud him.
It's an ego. It's an ego thing. But again, we're not chastising Ja Morant. What we're doing is that the reason one could easily argue it's gotten to this point is because you're surrounded by folks and you're in this cocoon where you think you're insulated from so much and people don't know. But they always know. They always find out. So live your life as if you're in this bubble that everybody is privy to.
Yeah.
Understand that wherever you go, you represent yourself, you represent your family, you represent the city, you represent the Memphis Grizzlies, you represent the NBA, not just yourself. And everybody believes your business is their business. And if you operate under that premise, you'll guard yourself and protect yourself that much more significantly, not just publicly, but privately in the decisions that you make and the things that you do. When you know people are watching, that's why I'm saying the message that I'm saying. Everybody watching, remember that.
I'm with you. I do think in this situation, I think Ja's path is something that you have to be mindful of a little bit, right? Like, he was not groomed in eighth grade to be the next great branded Nike shoe person, right? Like, there, a lot has happened to this family very, very quickly.
Yep.
And sometimes life starts happening, and you look up, and it's gotten a little bit away
from
you.
You know what? You want me to throw this right? Because this is, I'm going to go to one of your former Georgetown alumni, Mr. Allen Iverson.
Okay.
One of the things that was never appreciated about Allen Iverson, and we all know how well I know my little brother, this dude always tried to help other players.
Mm-hmm.
Always told them, gave them warnings, heads ups all the time. And it's amazing to me how you have so many modern-day athletes that swear up and down by the elder statesmen, how they listen to them, how they appreciate them, how much they loved them, how much they just revered them, and all of this other stuff. But you take the stuff, but the stuff that they warn you about,
don't stick.
You ignore.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Allen Iverson has spent years, every chance he gets, he warns them, yo, I went through this, I've been through this, let me tell you what to watch out for, et cetera, et cetera. In one ear, out the other.
But that happens to a lot of us. Yeah, where we make the mistake. Yeah, and he's 23.
It comes with that invincibility complex.
Yes.
Right? But that's a great point, though. Now you got to listen.
If it's coming from me or whatever,
but you
love him.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
worshiped him.
Yeah.
You revered him.
Yeah.
He was the answer.
But, yeah.
And he's telling you, this is what's here. I saw Allen. I said, look, this is waiting for you right here. Right now, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. If you do, this person's waiting. That person, he warns everybody. Folks, it's amazing how much folks don't listen.
Well, yeah.
It's amazing.
People have to learn their own lessons.
Hard
but
head.
This is a,
this is
a certainly a wake-up call, for sure.
Yes.
And we're wishing the best for him.
Yeah.